This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, this is John Franco, and you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN New York. Let's go Mets.
Thank you, John, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a rainy Friday. It's May 6, 2022. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20 and the other 48, that's your responsibility till we come back next Monday. But I got to tell you, we're starting the show without Don, at least for a little bit. He could rejoin us at any moment, but he's been caught in a transportation snafu with all of the rain and flights being canceled and things like that. So he will be getting into Pittsburgh shortly, and when he does, he'll set up, and we will have him back.
Now, one thing to keep in mind, Michael, is that Don is, I spoke to him earlier, he's going to be setting up himself.
Right.
So this could really mean anything. It's sort of like, you remember the SNL Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And I still have to download the app onto my computer.
I'm just a caveman. I'm scared by your modern flying machine. That there might be a little of that today, but he's very, as you can imagine, after last night, Donnie's probably more excited to talk today than anyone in the world.
So we will hold off with the heavy lifting on the Rangers' big 5-2 victory over the Penguins. And I'll tell you this, with DeSmith being out, core surgery, out for the remainder of the playoffs, the Rangers should win the series. I know that Sidney Crosby still is Sidney Crosby, and they've got great players. They have no excuse for not winning the series with Louis Domingue being the
goalie. Love Domingue.
10-9-2. At AHL level hockey this year. So Louis Domingue is somebody you should be able to beat.
Can I just say one thing about Louis Domingue?
Yeah, please.
He was not the reason the Penguins lost last night. I know he gave up 5 goals when it was all said and done, but at no point did I feel like he wasn't giving us a chance in that game. I just felt that the Rangers were better. The Rangers outplayed the Penguins last night, basically all night. So I agree with you. It's certainly a legit reason why now the Rangers should win this series, but I don't think Domingue was bad yesterday.
No, I don't think he was awful, but the Ranger goaltender was better. Shesterkin's just been amazing. So he was just better, and he stopped a lot of shots. He's just been amazing. And we'll talk to Donnie about it in just a moment. But, you know, there's no baseball tonight, unfortunately, in New York. Yankees have been rained out already. The Mets and Philly have been rained out. Yeah, the Sad Sacks.
Oh.
Yeah. You know what?
Which is also our nickname when we're together.
Sad Sacks, yes. Why don't we just make this game time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. There's
we
no
should.
Game time. There's no hockey. There's no Yankees. Now, the Yankees will have a doubleheader on Sunday, straight doubleheader, starting at 1:05 on Mother's Day. So tomorrow's game is also in doubt. But at this point, it's still on. So the rainout today is going to be made up as part of a doubleheader on Sunday. They'll deal with tomorrow, and they have to deal with tomorrow. The Mets have been rained out in Philly, and this game will be made up as part of a doubleheader in August when the Yankees are back in Philly for the final time. Their game tomorrow is also very much up in the air because of bad weather in the forecast, and I guess they would have to play a doubleheader on Sunday if that, in fact, happens. So there we are. That's game time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please enjoy responsibly. Also, let me correct myself. The doubleheader on Sunday starts at 1:35. I've been so programmed to say 1 o'clock, but because of the Peacock broadcast, the early game that they have, which is an exclusive window, all games must start at 1:35 or later. Mm. So the Yankee doubleheader will start at 1:35 on Sunday. Not 1, 1:35 on Sunday. There you have it. Now let's talk a little Mets.
Can we?
Can we do that?
Shall we?
Can we do that?
Honestly.
Will we do that?
Honestly, here's my question for you.
Sure.
How much of the Mets game did you watch live?
Good question. You know how I like baseball.
You do. You're a big
fan. Over a big hockey game, but I felt it was my responsibility
I love baseball.
To watch a hockey game. And I kept switching back. I watched a good part of the Phillies getting out to a 7-0 lead.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, this will do it.
Yep, me too.
And the only reason I got back was I saw in the 9th inning, just looking on social media, I'm watching the Ranger game, and they were up at that point. Let me get back here. And then it was just an incredible.
What was the score when he came back?
I think it was like seven. I think I came back on the Lindor home run.
Oh, beautiful.
So it was 7-2.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of opened the floodgates. And, you know, one game is a game is a game. But after the game, Joe Girardi, the manager of the Phillies, who's managed in the World Series and won a World Series and has had heartbreaking, heartbreaking playoff losses with the Yankees. He said this was one of the worst losses of his life as a manager. It's May 5th. And it shows you the enormity of that loss for the Phillies. Now, does it have the same positive effect for the Mets? Well, I think it can, because look at it this way, Peter. May 5th, they've had three forever games. They're down 2-0 to the Cardinals, two outs, and for some reason, Arenado, who's a perfect, perfect third baseman, throws the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
They score five runs, they win 5-2. That could stand as well. That's that big win moment of the season.
Sure.
Then they have a five-pitcher no-hitter.
Yeah.
A forever night.
Just a week ago.
Right, just a week ago. And now this. Score all those runs in the ninth inning, and you defy all the odds. You can't tell me that doesn't embolden a team moving forward where there is no deficit that they could think is insurmountable anymore. They believe in themselves. Everybody keeps like playing it. Well, how will this affect Met fans who are always waiting for the sky to fall? I don't care how it affects Met fans. I care how it affects a team. And when a team wins like that, Peter, they think they can win any game. And I think that's important. I think the Mets now believe they can win any game.
I said this yesterday or 2 days ago. I can't believe this team has already swept two doubleheaders by now. It's just not a very modern Metsian way to be, sweeping doubleheaders. That to me is a sign of something different. You want to find a sign of a cultural difference somehow and really can make you start to believe that thing was rotting from the top and now things are just seeping through the organization in a better way. A comeback like that, Michael, that makes you believe anything is possible.
Right.
And by the way, it shouldn't be overlooked how it started. It started out with Marte's hustling out that infield hit.
Right, so Lindor's home run made it 7-3.
Right, it was a two-run homer from Lindor because Marte hustled on base. Right. And then, of course, Marte then ends up hitting the go-ahead RBI later. So it was fantastic. I want to hear Mets fans calling up and screaming at the top of their lungs today. That's as good a regular season win as you could possibly get.
It's been 330 games since 1997 where they've won a game trailing by six or more runs entering the final inning. Now, that's not just a Met thing. No team wins going into the ninth inning down by six or more runs. It's just, you know, you got to get three outs before they get six runs, and you usually get to get three outs. But the Mets did it, and that's when they could hang up in the clubhouse and say, remember Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of February. Remember it.
Third time in Mets history today on
coming back from six or more run deficit entering the final, and they did it in 73 when they went to the World Series. They did it in 97 as well. So it's a special comeback. But what I really want to gauge, Peter, because you know me, I kind of like to pull the wings off of flies. Andrew, how'd you deal with that loss?
Oh man, my Philly group text was dark last night.
Well, there were a lot of curses in it.
Oh, I mean, I'd love to read back some of these messages, but I don't know how much. I mean, I wasn't watching either. They were up 7-1. Even from when it was 5-0 on, I was like, okay, I think we're good tonight. And then a buddy of mine on our group text chain kind of out of nowhere just writes, I don't know who this reliever bleep is for the Phils, but they're actually going to make this nerve-wracking finish. So then I turned it back on. That was when it was 7-3. And I mean, it's only May 5th, but you have certain losses. I think any fan can relate to this. Certain losses that kind of break you, where like after it happens, you're kind of like, okay, I sort of need a break from sports now. And that was one for me last night. I kind of need some time off.
I just came up with a programming idea. You ready?
Go ahead.
So we bring in a special guest to read Andrew's text chain from last night, and that special guest is Steve Valiquette because he's already broken the Rubicon anyway. He can read all of that stuff. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea, Michael.
Wow. Well,
this is something you should go with.
I think I also believe that this is all attributed to Buck Showalter. There's a magic in the man.
Well, you're joking, but you're not.
No, I'm not. Who's the guy who was advocating to hire him? That was the best move that Steve Cohen has made. Now, is this a perfect team? No, because let's look at, you know, last night, Taiwan Walker was bad. I give him credit for lasting four innings and saving the bullpen, but the bullpen was outstanding, and they kept it right there, allowing the Mets to get back into it. But there's some shaky spots in the rotation, and boy, can this team use Jacob DeGrom coming back. And there's some shaky spots in the bullpen. So rotation and bullpen, I think their lineup is fine. And I think that home run by Lindor was really important because he had really hit the skids. And the more he hits the skids, the more he's going to think about last year. So that home run that sets off this whole comeback, that's going to clear his head a little bit. Now, also don't forget, the Mets are 19-9 now. They lead the Marlins by 5.5 games in the National League East. And I can almost assure you, Mets fans, don't worry about the Marlins. I mean, Don Mattingly has done a great job with that team, and they have really good pitching. That's not the team I worry about. Worry about the Braves. So the team that's closest to you is the team that you don't have to worry about. That's the Marlins, 5.5 games. And they don't take these wins away. You bank them, you keep them forever. That win they got last night was something you will keep forever, well, at least for the rest of the year. So I think there's good things in the future for the Mets. I really do. I'm sorry. If you want to doubt, you have every right.
Sorry.
You have certainly suffered a lot. I can't sit here and commiserate with you. I don't know what it's like.
Yeah,
but how could
point,
you not enjoy that, Peter? How could you not enjoy that?
Yeah, if you're not happy at this point, you're in love with your own misery, as Don LaGreca would say. Because this is something. This feels like something. And Lindor, again, just a thing that wasn't happening last year. You know, you started to get worried. Actually, I got to tell you, Michael, they were coming off a loss. And when I looked up and saw the score, I did have my first thought of like, oh, are the Mets going to start slipping into a...
Because that would have been two losses in a row.
Right. Would that have been the first time this year? Yes, right?
I believe so. And then you knew that tonight was going to get rained out, so they would have to sit on two losses in a row.
Right. So I didn't like how it felt at 7-1. I'm like, ooh, this kind of feels familiar. But then, man, the second you start to think this feels like same old Mets, nope. As good a comeback as I can remember for this team.
You want to hear from William Nathaniel?
Sure.
He was asked, what was it like in the dugout during the comeback?
I was involved in too many other things going on to start cheerleading, but I sure felt like it. Mm-hmm. I could have, but then me, I'd had some pom-poms out, I tell you. But I can't. There's too many things going on with Lugo. If we tie, I'll go ahead for some reason, Diaz, and making sure we had the pinch runners ready and knowing how we were going to flip it around to do the defense in the ninth inning.
One thing that you should not lose sight of, Edwin Diaz was great again. Edwin Diaz was money in the five-man no-hitter. I think he struck out the side in the ninth inning against the Phillies. Struck out the side. And yesterday, 1-2-3. No sweat, no muss, no fuss. So that's awesome. If he can be a shutdown closer, that solves part of your bullpen problem. Then you don't have to go out and get an expensive closer. You could spend the money the way you want, picking up other pieces of the puzzle. You know, Trevor May is now going to be out for 3 months. It's a big loss. But the offense can carry. And you got to cross your fingers and say, DeGrom will come back. You don't know if he will, but that's the way to root. That's the way to root. 1-800-919-3776. Here's Brandon Nimmo about the team. He said, hey, we don't give up.
I'm an optimist, but, you know, I just keep going until they blow the whistle, so to say, you know. And so you just never give up, and you just say, okay, when it comes to be my turn, I give it everything I got. Every guy on this team has that mentality. And when you do that, it allows for things like this to happen. And that's the only way. Is it's not necessarily that you're like, oh, yeah, we're going to win this game. It's more of, I'm going to go do my job when I get up there. Like, I'm going to go give it everything I've got.
Now, Nimmo also talked about the special moments this team has had.
They didn't happen much, you know, in the past that I've been here. And this is, you know, three times that we've had, you know, extraordinary special moments. And I think they just, you know, they start to mark, you know, special seasons. You put these little things together and they amount to, you know, little throughout 162. But you put these little things together and they amount to big things in the end. And, you know, us just not giving up and coming back here. I mean, each time we do this, it just gives this team more confidence. And pointing to the identity that we're trying to, you know, create here is just that passing the baton along and never give up.
Never give up. All right, so let's hear from you. We'll go around the bases with you, brought to you by Nissan. And here is Saul and Queen. Saul, start it off.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. It's actually Charles and Queen. That's why it took me a second.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway. Andrew has to be fired. It says Saul. It says Saul.
I'll be whatever you want.
Andrew,
my
Andrew,
winning,
wait
bro.
A second. Wait a second, Charles, because I'm very – my dad's name and my son's name. Andrew, how do you get Saul from Charles? I'd like to know.
I don't know. I repeat every name back to every caller. And if
and
he
you
doesn't
– spell out Saul.
No, I don't. If somebody doesn't say, no, that's not it, then they repeat themselves, and I still don't know, then, yeah, we can spell it. But if I repeat it back to you – and you don't say anything, I'm not going to suddenly just, okay, now I'm going to spell it to you also.
All right, Saul, is this the way you remember it? Or Charles,
so
is this
listen,
the way you
I'm
remember
not,
it?
My mom always told me not to call anyone a liar, but that definitely didn't happen. But
whoa!
I say everyone's name back to them every time, every
no, you
call.
You did not. You definitely did not. Not this call. You didn't.
Wow.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. The Mets are winning.
No,
really
you know what? It does
point.
Matter now. Michael, drop the call. I'm not going to drop
no,
the call.
No, I will not drop Charles. I cannot drop a Charles. Please, Charles, go on.
So listen, so I, you know, my phone is, I'm following the game, right? And it's 3-0, 5-0, 7-0. So I go to sleep. I actually fall asleep on it. I wake up to empty the tank and my phone is buzzing. Like just it's just going off. I'm like, what's going on? So I check, it's 7-3. I turn back and I just caught it. I caught and Gary was absolutely off the chain last night. The way that he just carried us through that comeback just made it even better. But the Mets are they're unbelievable. And one thing I'd like to add, Mike, is Buck Showalter. You gotta love him. You have to love him. The calming influence. He's funny. He doesn't take himself too serious. And these guys play for him. I really think we got it going this year.
Well, I mean, I could see how I could say that, Saul, Charles. Charles really called out Andrew, and Andrew got his nose out of joint. A big Philly loss, and then this guy said that didn't happen. Peter, it's amazing.
Listen, that wasn't fair. I think you put everyone in a bad situation because you're a bad guy.
How did I put him in a bad situation?
Because Charles Saul probably did not hear, and he probably just didn't notice when Andrew responded. He was probably excited. He just got through. I unlike you, I trust our staff here, and I trust my friends, and I believe Andrew did the right thing. And I think Andrew did really want you to hang and disconnect the call. It sounded like Andrew was finally saying, I've had enough. I'm standing up for myself. And you say, you know what? Pipe down.
That's right. This guy's name was Charles. If it was like Peter, I would have hung up.
Of course you would have.
Now, Gene Mass on Twitter, I mean, people are unbelievable. I think you have a drop that you didn't hear. Michael K just said Cinco de Mayo. The Mets will remember February 5th forever. Gene, that's something that Don said, so we all make fun of it. Can you
So
play
that's
that
my
again,
list
Anthony?
Today on Cinco de Mayo. The 5th of February.
Got it now, Gene.
Come
you got
on.
It?
By the way, listen, I got to tell you, Michael. Gene's not the only yo-yo out there.
Okay.
I got a tweet here from someone. And this is, their name is Zal82 on Twitter. Seems like a great guy. And he said, a relative of mine won $6,000 on that comeback. And he sent me the FanDuel bet slip. Can I tell you what this bet was?
Yeah, sure.
Mets money line. This is a parlay, okay? Mets money line. Francisco Lindor to get a hit. Pete Alonso to get a hit. Jeff McNeil to get a hit. The Rangers on the money line. The Panthers on the money line. And the Avalanche on the money line.
How much did he bet?
This is the part that made me think yo-yo. He bet $500 on that.
That's crazy. And
by the way,
$6,000?
And it only paid $6,000. That's what I thought. I thought for that many things, right? That should pay $60,000.
Wow.
But the thing is, there aren't great odds on any of the things. That's what makes it a dumb bet. He did so many things, which is, if you do all these like low odds things, okay, I get it. But to do $500 on that? I mean, listen, maybe he's a rich man and that was, you know, ashtray money. But for me, I'd never bet $500 on anything.
Let's go to Benny in Brooklyn. Benjamin, hope that's your name. Yes, Benjamin.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Long-time listener. I tell you, last night's got to be the most amazing Mets win I've ever seen in my life. Where would you guys rank it? Are they the best team in baseball? And who do you guys think is the biggest contributor to their success?
Well, I don't think they're the best team in baseball. I think the Dodgers are the best team on paper. The best team record-wise in baseball is the Yankees, and I don't think they're the best team at this point. The Dodgers have the most talent. I think the Mets are, you know, maybe in the discussion for the top five, but I don't think they're the best team. I think credit goes all around. That's what makes it special. Nobody's carrying this team. Everybody's contributing. They lost Jacob deGrom, and McGill has said, well, that's okay. We'll be fine, and he's been great. But the guy who's kind of meshed all of this together is Buck Showalter. I don't give him total credit. I think it's a collaborative effort by everyone. And you can't discount Steve Cohen opening his wallet and bringing in Max Scherzer for money that was unheard of in the history of baseball. And he doesn't care. And Max Scherzer's been great. Been absolutely great. All right, so I have a little bit of a conundrum. By the way, that's okay. Around the Bases brought to you by Nissan. Nissan's an easier choice than ever with their exciting and fuel-efficient lineup. Now get great offers across their full line. Shop your local Nissan store on NissanUSA.com. So the powers that be, Peter, I really want you, don't take off your funny hat and put on your broadcasting genius hat, because that's what you are.
Thank you.
So I get a text from the powers that be. Well, before the end of this segment, can you do a quick plug that Rick DiPietro's On The Point on ESPN2 coming up in a few minutes at 3:30? Now, you know how I feel about Rick, right? He's like my brother from another mother.
Correct.
Why should I promote something that's opposite our show? How does that help me? So I'm telling people, go turn on ESPN2 right now and turn off Yes.
Ray Rowe.
How does that make sense, Peter? So the executive that asked for this, how does that benefit the Michael K. Show Corporation?
Well, I take it a step further. I mean, I would argue that while it benefits 98.7 ESPN in general, that people would see Rick, I think it's more net loss for us than win.
And really, what's my motto?
I'm rooting for me.
I'm rooting for me. I'm rooting for me even more than I'm rooting for Rick.
Of course.
And much more than I'm rooting for 98.7. I want this show to be money. But now we've got executives, pinhead suits, pushing me to tell people to turn off our show on Yes and go watch Rick on The Point.
Who's Rich?
His real good friends call him Rich.
And coming up any moment, we're going to have the great Don LaGreca breaking down, the man who called the game.
Right. He has landed in Pittsburgh. He's headed to try to put together the electronics to get himself on the air.
Also, Anthony, how many of the goal calls do we have from last night?
We have them all. They should all be ready for you. When you want them.
Michael, I have an idea. I'm going to go on the fly here. Can we play them throughout?
Throughout the show?
Right now?
Yeah, let's hear the first one right now, and then in a little bit, we'll hear number two. I want to hear the first goal from last night's Ranger game.
Kopp up the middle. Pass goes too hard for Strome, but it's held in at the far wing. Back up to Kopp. Kopp fans on his pass, gets it back. Gets it back up top for Braun. Braun quickly to Panarin. Panarin creeps up. Panarin back out between the circles. A shot and they score! The Rangers get the first goal of the game, and it's Andrew Kopp making it 1-0.
Wow. Beautiful. By the way, Ranger front office, the guy never loses when he's the play-by-play guy on radio. Remember that.
It's true.
They lost a game with Kenny. They won with Don.
Tweet
lost
that!
With Kenny. One with Don.
Print that!
Also, there's, I'm told that I should promote the fact that Drew Barrymore is on NBC right now, if you want to turn it off.
Ah, no.
Yeah, that's
on TV.
Yeah, on TV. I got to talk to executives. I wonder what they think. Let's push audience away from our show to watch something else. Who does that? Imagine Jimmy Kimmel coming on and go, by the way, on WPIX in New York, you see Seinfeld right now if you'd like to turn there. You know what, Peter? You know what I'm going to say, right?
Maybe it's time for you to go.
It might be time for me to go.
No.
Because I have people, vipers, that are undermining me. It might be time for me to walk away.
I don't want you to walk away.
I can't deal with this stuff.
Sure you can.
Go turn on Rick DiPietro on ESPN2. Turn us off and turn on him. Okay. What other host would even do that? I did it because I do as I'm told.
I can't say you did it like with bells on, though.
But you know what? I got the message across that if you want to see Rick, he's where he is. And also sending a message to the executives. Wake up! What are you doing? How does that help the corporation that is TMKS?
Which is a fine corp.
How does that get Peter's unborn child to college? How?
And I have a lot of work to do.
You do. Get to it. We're going to a break. You've got time now. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
I think I'm saying this right, Peter. Stench in Mamaroneck. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, sir?
Oh, hey. No, it's Bennett.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Should also send out birthday wishes today to the incredibly handsome and talented George Clooney, who, strangely enough, is my exact age, 61. Looks a little better.
I mean, you look good for what you got.
He's got a lot more.
I'll put it this way. You may look as good today for you. You may look better for you today than he looks for him.
You think he's looked better than what he looks today?
Correct.
You think I've topped out today?
Right. Like, if you took a picture from you at 20.
Right.
And Clooney at 20.
Right.
And then you jumped ahead to now. They would say, wow, that Michael Kay guy, he used to look like a fat, bloated gargoyle. He looks much better now. What about Clooney? Not as great. You see what I'm saying?
He's aged pretty well.
No, he looks pretty good.
I was listening to Bart and Han talk about this. I thought it was fascinating because I was thinking about doing it before they did it. And Bart and Han, they're on from noon to 3 leading into our show right here on 98.7. I'm sure you saw what Justin Bieber did on TikTok, right?
You're talking about the Biebs.
Yeah. Essentially, speak your truth. Like, say something that people had never known about you. And I forget what Justin said, but Tom Brady actually did his own in reply to the Biebs, and he whispered into the mic, he said, it might have been a fumble, about the tuck rule.
Wow.
So Alan asked me on their show, I'm on every Friday at 2:10, by the way, what sports truth would you want to know? And I said, I would want to talk to Roger Clemens and say, what were you intending to do with the bat? With Piazza. Because Roger said, well, I was trying to get it out of there, throw it out of the way. I think he's trying to hit Piazza. But I want to know, I want him to speak his truth. But there's so many things out there that, you know, what is the real deal? What's the real truth? What Barry Bonds with the cream. What's the real truth? What's the truth? I just think it's a fascinating thread.
You know why I don't love the Clemens question?
Why?
Because I don't think he can give you the real answer you want.
Because you think he believes what he now believes. Because if you,
yes.
It's like George Costanza. If you tell a lie and you believe it, it's the truth.
I think Roger probably looks back on that moment and believes what he's told people. And it happened so quickly that how can he even really know? He didn't have time to decide to do it. It happened in an instant. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. So what would you want to know?
Well, certainly the flu game one is interesting, right?
Did you really have the flu?
Did Michael really have the flu?
Mm-hmm.
That's out there.
I'll jump in while you think, Peter.
Please, please.
And it's funny because mine was also Jordan related.
All right.
And I don't even know if I really do want to know, but was he suspended?
Yeah, why did you walk away from bat? That's a great one, Andrew. What were you doing? Were you suspended? Was it because of gambling? To have something to do with your dad when he passed away? I mean, that's the truth I want to know.
That's what makes Andrew the GOAT.
Now, he doesn't get names right on the calls, but he's better than that on other stuff.
No, that was very good. I liked it.
Also, I don't know if you heard, if you listened to the commercials during the breaks. You should, because they help pay the bills. Did you hear the height of fraudulism? Did you hear it? Did you hear it, Peter?
No, what?
Don doing a golf event commercial.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what do you mean?
Golf is garbage.
This is a man who said that. And is
can't wait. I will watch every...
Buys golf!
And he's doing an event. He's doing a read about an event for golf. If you're handed that, you go, I can't read this because that's not my, it's not my style, man. It's not my brand.
And
give
and
it to Kay or give it to Peter.
I feel like you, of all people, should appreciate that, though, that he's just getting the check.
No, but I wouldn't do a check. Like, if somebody asked me to do a cigarette ad, I wouldn't do it.
And by, basically, golf is like cigarettes to Don.
Right.
Wow. What's the event? Do you remember?
It's something coming up. I don't know. But it... Oh, John Winthrop, one of our pinhead suits, he just gave a great truth.
Okay.
I want to know OJ's truth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, does that count?
Yeah, it counts. From him.
Because I feel like that goes a little beyond. I feel like that goes a little beyond sports. But
Ryan Hurley, our PD, wants to know, was the envelope really frozen? That got them Patrick Ewing.
Oh. That's a great one.
Another truth I want to know, Don. How much were you paid to do a golf commercial where you sold your soul? I'd want to know the truth about Cal Ripken Jr. Tony Ortiz just brought it up. I mean, the night that the lights went out of Camden Yards and they canceled the game, what really went on there? Franco Harris, did you really catch that ball on the Immaculate Reception? Bob Pavlik gives us that. There's so many great ones out there. I think I'm going to put one out, my truth.
All right, go ahead. Here we go.
Well, I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to give people a really good one.
The truth from your life?
Yeah, but the thing that's rough with me, you're going to laugh at me here, I really do tell the truth on the air. So there's nothing like I might hide stuff where I don't really give you my total unvarnished truth, but I don't lie. So it's not like OJ would come out and say, yeah, I really did it. Meaning that he lied. I don't lie, but I might just obfuscate a little bit to protect the innocent. But if I really want to unload on people, I could do it. Peter, you probably lied tremendously in your life.
Me?
Yeah.
No. I'm not a good liar.
Now Winthrop comes up with a good one.
What's that?
Peyton, why did you really stay at Tennessee instead of going to the Jets?
What about Eli and San Diego?
I think we know why.
Is it just simply he wanted to be in New York to win?
Yeah.
Well, that's not very exciting then.
Now, Donnie Mineta asked me, and he asked me in a nice way, hashtag you love money, said, Michael, you're offered $10 million to a cigarette commercial. You are really saying no. Yeah, I love money, but I saw what cigarettes did to my dad. There's not enough money in the world for me to do a cigarette commercial. Not enough. Friend of mine, Bruce Eagle, just texted me. What's the deal? Did Muhammad Ali really knock down Sonny Liston there with the Phantom Punch? What really happened there? Joe Caravan from Northport. Ryan sends this along. I want to know the real truth about Schilling's bloody sock. I guess Joe doesn't really believe that it was a bloody sock.
What a boring answer, though, if it turns out, no, it was just the bloody sock that everyone thought it was. That could be a waste.
Eric wants to know Don's truth. Why the Portland Trailblazers?
Oh, well, that, of course. Oh,
you're
okay.
Banned!
Okay. You want a great one?
Yep.
Come on, Michael. We're staring us right in the face, and it took Mark Ballard texting me to think of it.
Does it involve Altuve?
Ballard! No, but we'll get to that one. Was Kaepernick blackballed? I mean, you and I may know the answer, but were there conversations to blackball Colin Kaepernick?
Jimmy Berger says, I want to know the truth. Was Altuve really wearing a buzzer in 2019? I think Han brought that up, too, on the show. I think
I
that's a
tell
great
you,
one.
It is a really good one because I'll still never understand the shyness he randomly had about his jersey coming off. It's very weird.
So many good things. We could ask sticky stuff questions, too.
Love sticky stuff questions.
So that's just a good thought. Do you have a truth that you're going to speak and put it out on TikTok, Peter?
I didn't see this Bieber thing.
Oh, it's great. It's a great thing. It's going to become it's going to be like the ice bucket challenge. Watch.
Oh, great.
You didn't like that.
I hate a challenge. I hate challenges. Like, I don't mean life challenges. I'm fine with that. But I hate these stupid challenges that everyone feels obligated to do. I hope this one doesn't happen.
Well, I'm going to give you tonight's Yankee starting lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea. But I need the music, Anthony, because there is no Yankee game tonight. Rained out. Be made up as part of a doubleheader starting at 1:35 on Sunday. 1:35 on Sunday. Now, here's the one thing that you should know, everybody. Only tickets to Sunday's game will be accepted. Not tickets to tonight's game. Only tickets to Sunday's game will be accepted. And I guess you could go to the box office and buy available tickets, but you can't use today's tickets and get into Sunday's doubleheader. Now, the Mets also got rained out tonight in Philly, but that game's going to be made up as part of a doubleheader, a day-night doubleheader, in August, the next time the Mets go into Philadelphia. Well, that's today's non-existent Yankees lineup brought to you by Bigelow Tea.
Really good, though.
Bigelow Tea is a proud supporter of the Michael K. Show and the official hot tea of Joe Torre and the New York Yankees. What's your truth, people? Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Ryder wrists it back over to Trouba. Trouba chips it back out to Vetrano. Vetrano with a shot deflection, score, and I believe this time it's Kreider that's going to get it, and the Rangers take a 3-1 lead.
Don on top of his game yesterday as the Rangers won, and Don has finally hooked up all of his equipment.
Wow.
Sometimes his equipment doesn't work. It's sad.
That's right.
But,
it was a major problem.
He's with us right now live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Don. Good trip?
Oh, the trip was fine. Everything leading up to it's been a disaster, but I'm here with you guys. I had to
meet
our guy Kevin McCardle on the Vince Lombardi park and ride to pick up the equipment necessary to do this broadcast. I had to go to urgent care earlier today because my finger got infected from a cut.
Oh, I told everybody that.
Yeah. And I had to haul.
There was pus involved, right? Pus was involved.
Oh, yeah, lots.
And also,
and lots,
Don, I got to tell you, babe, I know you don't want to hear this. The mic flag is upside down. I mean, what are you doing?
Listen, let's just get rid of it.
It says 7.86.
I don't want to disconnect.
Ray Rowe.
So we're going to have to worry about that later, okay? I brought the mic flag and the thing's upside down. So, all right, but I'm here. Everything's good.
I just saw it.
The upside down
mic flag is amazing, but I got to tell you, I'm very impressed, Don. You not only got the audio working, you have pretty good looking video now, too.
Looks like a great hotel room, too.
It's very nice. They just don't have Ethernet cable. That's why we had to go jump through hoops. But
was my assessment right that I gave you this morning?
Oh, yeah, it was great.
That's what they gave you, an internet thingy that you just plugged in?
Yeah, no, it's all good. Everything's really terrific.
Now, before we get into the Rangers, which we do at 5 o'clock, and the Mets, because you have to comment on both, we've been talking about something that Justin Bieber started a couple of days ago, telling your real truth. And a lot of people, we asked what the sports truth would be. And a lot of people have come up with some really good stuff. Mark Gustler said, I want to know, did Babe Ruth really point out the center field, call that home run against the Cubs? A lot of people, Peter, want to know, what's the deal with Brandi Scott and all that amazing fun facts you give her?
That's true.
Yeah, they want to know that truth. Ollie Liston, was that really a knockout? Blah, 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 ooh, stuff like that. Really good stuff. Well, Steve Goodfriend goes, I would ask Kyrie, does he really believe the things he says, or does he just love the attention? Off the top of your head, Don, we thought about, the Clemens bat throwing. What were you really doing?
The Jordan flu game?
Altuve, were you really wearing a buzzer? What was going on in the real flu game? Anything that strikes you? Well, another guy, Palinko, said, I want to ask Joe Namath, did you really sell your soul to the devil to win the Super Bowl?
Well, that would be the first one that I would kind of dive into. Was that game fixed? Because you remember, Bubba Smith went to his grave claiming that the game was fixed. Now, I don't think it was, because we talked about how the merger was already complete, so why would they have to throw the game? And then Kansas City won the next year against Minnesota. But it's interesting, when somebody as significant as Bubba Smith thought that game was fixed, I guess there's got to be something to investigate there.
The other one that I always I bring up is, did Joe DiMaggio actually have a 56-game hitting streak? Was there ever a time where something should have been an error, you know, that was called a hit because they wanted to keep it going? There was no replay. A lot of those games, probably nothing was on television, right? So is it possible there could have been a few controversial calls that went his way? I had a hockey historian say that a lot of the numbers that guys like Maurice Richard had back in the day were bogus because sometimes they would just guess, oh, he was on the ice, he must have touched the puck, give him an assist. Don't you think a lot of that went on in the early days of sports before you can go back and replay and check? I mean, there are times I'm calling games, guys, like the goal that was scored by Strome last night. I thought it would deflect it off of Kreider. Replay showed that it went through Strome and might have glanced Kreider. We're not sure. You can check with the players afterward, but replay revealed who actually scored the goal. When there was no replay, is it possible that Kreider would have gotten credit for the goal? I mean, so I think there's a lot of things that happened pre, what, 1960? That not necessarily made up, but might not necessarily be the truth.
He really is fixated on this 56-game hitting streak, well, Peter. It's like the third time he's brought it up.
I'm trying to be anti-Yankee. I'm not trying to be anti-Yankee, I mean.
There you go.
I always thought about that. 56-game hitting streak. Nobody's really come close.
Oh, well, Pete Rose did. He had 44.
Well, is 44 close to 56, Peter?
Yeah,
I'll ask you.
It is. You're 53. I'm 61. I think that's close.
It's close. When you've got a hitting streak that comes up 12 games short, Michael, are you're close, a Jace. Like, it's the longest in the National League.
Well, could it be
really
that Joe DiMaggio was
Joe DiMaggio?
Joe DiMaggio was really just an exemplary player?
But was Joe DiMaggio the greatest player to ever live?
He's one of them.
But nobody's really come close. So, I don't have any evidence. I'm just saying, is it possible that there could have been in modern times, oh, that's an error. We're not going to give him a hit. You're telling me there's no possible way that happened?
No.
Really?
No.
So I'm coming across, Peter, I need you to be the judge of this. Coming across as being an anti-Yankee for bringing it up. You don't think Michael's waving the pom-poms by just completely dismissing the idea that it could be true?
I see both sides. Don, I agree with you. But I see why Michael would say, no, that's not really worth a question because it's in the record books. It's official. There's never been any real evidence to believe that it's not true.
Right.
But I hear what you're saying.
But
there's no evidence to believe that it is true.
But there were thousands of people at each game that would bear witness. I mean, maybe a ball that bounced off a guy's glove that gave a hit. But I don't think he got advantage. He got credited with a hit if he didn't get a hit.
I don't know. We'd have to go back. You're talking how many years? 70 years ago?
You're just a hater. Mr. C's art room wants to know the truth that I really like the Whopper. I could tell you, Mr. C, I really didn't.
I don't know. There's no way that you hated it as much as you did because it's delicious and you were making it look like you were throwing up. There are things that I think are disgusting that wouldn't make me gag if it's edible.
Nick T, what really happened to Ray from North Carolina?
Well, what really happened? Oh, you mean like after the call?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Also, before we break, my friend, we don't like to talk behind your back because that's not what we do. You hate golf, right?
Sure.
You did a golf read.
Yeah.
Why'd you turn it down?
I don't think that's an option.
Sure it is.
That's the answer! In
the 20-plus years that I've worked here, I've never thought that I had the option of saying, no, I'd rather not read.
You're
that.
One of the coils in the transmitter.
So I got to be on board with everything I read? It's not an endorsement. I didn't say, I love golf, and the golf clubs that I use are
paying. But you're telling them to go to a golf tournament when if there was the Masters was played in your backyard, you'd call the authorities.
No. And not once in that read did I say, hey, everybody, it's Don LaGreca. Join me. Didn't say that. I am just the person reading. ESPN is inviting you to the golf tournament. Somebody had to read it. I know it sounds like semantics, but I didn't endorse it. My name's not on it. I didn't tell you to do anything. Somebody had to read it, and I read it because I'm one of the voices of the station. The station's inviting you. The station's filthing itself up by getting involved in that garbage sport.
Golf is garbage.
Wow. It's a strong take.
All right, we're gonna towel off. Don's got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's you know what? We know we're called. We're renaming this hour.
The Don Show.
This is the Don LaGreca 5 o'clock hour.
Right.
Okay.
Because Peter and I have we've told our truth.
We've said it all.
We've said it all. We've talked about Mike Haggerty, the whole deal, Willie Mays' birthday.
Listen, my favorite role from him was in that Goldie Hawn vehicle.
Overboard.
Only Don would know that. Anyway, let's break for a moment. We'll come right back. 5 o'clock hour is going to be hot. It's going to be lit. It's going to be fire. It's going to be all the thing the kids say. And I also want to remind Ranger fans, we partner with MSG Networks, home of the New York Rangers, to give our fans a chance to score signed merchandise throughout the playoffs. Be listening in the next hour, the 5 p.m. hour today, for your chance to score an autographed Artemi Panarin stick. Yeah. Brought to you by MSG Networks. The Rangers' run for the Stanley Cup continues tomorrow night on MSG Networks. Come on back, everybody, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
Don has finally hooked up all of his equipment.
Wow.
And sometimes his equipment doesn't work. It's sad.
That's right. But, it was a major problem.
He's with us right now, live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Hello, Don. Good trip?
Oh, the trip was fine. Everything leading up to it's been a disaster, but I'm here with you guys. I had to meet our guy Kevin McCardle on the Vince Lombardi park and ride to pick up the equipment necessary to do this broadcast. I had to go to urgent care earlier today because my finger got infected from a cut.
Pus was
some. Oh, yeah, lots
and also,
and
Don,
lots
you're, I got to tell you, babe, I know you don't want to hear this. The mic flag is upside down. I mean, what are you doing?
Listen, let's just get rid of it.
It says 7.86.
The Michael K. Show.
I just saw it.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh. A listener just came up. We got to call this hour the 5 o'clock shadow. He is the 5 o'clock shadow, Don LaGreca. Don, there's two big stories.
I felt like that opened, by the way. It was like my walk of shame.
It was. I was just thinking, can you imagine the untoward things that have happened in the Vince Lombardi parking lot?
Well,
and Don's
exchanging
electrical equipment with...
There's exchanging of things. It was probably the first time that electrical equipment was exchanged in the Vince Lombardi parking ride.
Why don't we start off with this, Don? We haven't talked Rangers yet, but let's start off with the Mets' performance last night. And we're gonna sponsor this, too. It's Diamond Notes.
Beautiful.
Brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. So they score 7 runs in the 9th inning. They win 8-7. They've had 3 forever games so far this year, coming back against the Cardinals, winning 5-2 when they're down 2-0 with 2 outs in the 9th. The 5-pitcher no-hitter, and then yesterday. Go for it. What does it mean?
Well, it means everything because I keep bringing this up and I keep getting hammered by Met fans. This kind of reminds me of 86. Now, it's early. It's only May 6th. That team won 108 games in the regular season. But when I watched them in 86, it was like anything I wanted to happen seemed to happen. And when they lose a game, I go, what happened? Why did they lose? It's got that kind of feel. They're never out of a game. And amazing things happen. Like in 86, you had that crazy game against the Reds where Jesse Orosco and Roger McDowell had to play out in right field, remember? And then the big fight, Ray Knight punches Eric Davis, and you had big performances from Doc Gooden during that. I remember he had like a 14 strikeout performance against the Giants. Like there were certain moments that like rang true during the regular season, and you kind of just knew something was special. And here we are, barely a month into the season. As you said, they've had 3 forever games. And which one's better than the next? And I think this one topped them all, quite frankly. 7-1, dead as Dillinger, going into the 9th inning on the road. And you start to think to yourself, you only split against the Braves, and now you're going to lose the first game of the series against Philadelphia. You know, Lindor hasn't been able to snap out of it yet. And then what does Lindor do? Hits a home run. Next thing you know, boom, boom, boom. And I hear like conversations like, when did you start to think it was for real? And the Nimmo hit, maybe, because I was following it. You know what I was following on the computer while we were waiting for our walk-off after the Ranger game? So, like, Dave and I are talking after the game, and I popped it on the computer, and I'm like, I can't believe they're still – I can't believe that they've got a chance. And then Nimmo gets the hit, and then it just all kind of came together from there. And I – again, we've got a long way to go before we can compare it to the greatest Met team in franchise history, but it's got that same kind of feel to it. It does.
Now, one thing that I disagree with, that people are trying to make a thing – well, this will get the Met fans to believe. Who cares what the Met fans believe? You know, they're going to believe what they – even after that, they're going to think the sky is going to fall at some point. Don, this is about players believing. There's not a game now that the Mets could play that they're going to think they're out of it. If they're down 8-0 in the second inning, they're going to think, let's just chip away and go for it, because they think they could come back from any deficit. Whether or not the fans finally believe, that doesn't affect the on-field product. This affects the on-field product.
These players don't care about what happened to the Mets in the 90s and the early 2000s. They don't care about the collapse of 07 and 08. They don't care about Beltran striking out with his bat on his shoulders in 2006 against the Cardinals. They care about this team. And really, honestly, I'm a Met fan, but I've never kind of bought into that whole woe is me stuff. I mean, obviously it is what it is when you don't win for that long a period of time and they've had some crushing seasons. But there's nothing wrong with just saying, hey, we've reset. We got rid of the evil. Because really all that was based on the Wilpons, Michael. That's what it was based on. Having ownership that didn't seem to care or didn't seem to know where to spend the money. And now you've got an owner that's passionate. You've got adults in the room now. You have, I think, easily the best manager this franchise has had since arguably either Bobby Valentine or Davey Johnson. We're talking decades. Mm-hmm. So why are we comparing it to what happened when Mickey Callaway was manager or Jerry Manuel was manager? Why are we comparing it to when Jeff Torborg was the manager? Why? Why? Why can't we compare it to when Gil Hodges was the manager? When Davey Johnson was the manager? And even when Bobby Valentine was the manager, Michael, they went to back-to-back playoffs for the first time in franchise history, went to the World Series in 2000. Did the other shoe drop then? Yeah, they didn't win the championship, but they were teams that probably didn't deserve to go as far as they did. So why, when you've got Buck Showalter and Steve Cohen running the ship, are we comparing this to Wilpon teams and managers that either didn't have a clue or just weren't as good in New York as they were other places? Why are we making that comparison other than the fact that we want to be in love with our own sadness, that we want to be miserable, that way when we're miserable and the other shoe does drop, we're prepared for it? You guys taught me a great phrase. Don't be afraid to love again. And if you do that, your heart opens up to amazing things.
Can I say something, Don?
Please.
Here's the thing. I understand why someone like me would have a tough time loving again year after year my Washington Commanders, because nothing changes. And you know how poisoned they are. If you can't give it a chance now, when somehow you got out, in a miracle, you got out of the ownership that most fans did not want to have, this is the opportunity where it's a true start over. It's actually a different organization. Normally we say it's just laundry, right? But in this case, the actual personnel at the top who make the decisions and set the tone of the organization have switched. So it is completely reasonable to believe it's going to be different.
So if the Commanders were sold tomorrow,
yes,
to an owner that had a clue, then you would not compare it to the years with Snyder.
And then they started out 6-1 next season. I'd go, oh my God, this may be over.
Yeah.
This may be the beginning.
Well, those are diamond notes. Go ahead.
No, I was like, not that we fully agree all the time, Michael, on this with the fans, but it would be the same, you know, if Dolan no longer owned the Knicks and the Knicks went on a run. Like, things have changed, and we'll see. I mean, you're believing in curses, you're believing in jinxes. Well, where was the jinx in 86? Where was the jinx in 69? Like, so you can't pick and choose it. I understand that it could fall apart, just like it's no guarantee you're winning a championship, but in order to really enjoy it, you got to put your heart out there.
Those are diamond notes brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Picker designed the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their six area locations. Also want to send a shout out to Stephen Kolditz's mom, fresh out of hip replacement surgery.
Ooh, real fan
of the program. Always has it on when he stops by after work. So get better, Mrs. Kolditz. I guess
Please.
That's your name. He didn't feel it was compelling enough to give your name. Just say hello to my mom. I love when people say, hi, mom.
Every mom out there says
we're saying hello.
Isn't it fair to say, Peter, that the most underappreciated person is your mom? Even though you appreciate her, you're still not doing enough.
Well, yeah, that's a great point. It's sort of like the Beatles being overrated. They're the greatest band of all time, still a little overrated. Mom, you appreciate her more than anything. Still underappreciated.
Mother's Day is Monday, so make appreciate her on Monday.
Well, believe it's Sunday.
I believe it's Sunday, Michael.
Yeah, it is Sunday.
No, you said Monday not once but twice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's a concern.
So you owning actually think this wasn't a misspeak. This was actually believing in your heart that Mother's Day was Monday.
Well, Mother's Day to me has been a race because of the Yankee rainout tonight, because now it's a doubleheader on Sunday. We'll not be able to take Jody anywhere, so it is what it is.
I know. I'm going to have an off day in Pittsburgh.
Well, and you fly back, you like gotta, the good son would.
Well, I would fly back for my wife, not my mom.
Well,
as
okay,
I'm
then fly back for your wife.
How underappreciated mom is.
Fly back
if
for
I
your
flew
wife.
Back, it would be for Nancy.
Well, then do it.
No.
He can't do it.
Why not?
That's a tough thing to do.
Back and forth. By the way, for an arbitrary day that's set by Hallmark, he can celebrate it Monday, Tuesday.
Well, then I was right then.
Well, in some no, you weren't.
All right, so let's talk about the Rangers. Don's in Pittsburgh now. The Rangers and the Penguins 1-1. I said this before, Don, before you got on the air. With DeSmith now out, he had core surgery. Mm. Successful, of course, they called it. He's out for the remainder of the playoffs. They have no excuse now. Now, I know Louis Domingue has played well, but they have no excuse. They have to win the series. I'm sorry. You're going with the third-string goalie.
I agree. I mean, Jari has not been ruled out for this series, but speculation he's got a broken foot, so I don't think he's going to play. And if he does play, I don't think he'll be nearly as effective as he was during the regular season. But you're right. I mean, you're a journeyman. You are what you are. And I think he saw that as the game wore on. Like, in the beginning, I thought Domingue was terrific. And I started thinking to myself, oh, boy, here we go. They've created a monster here. And then Kopp scores. But then when Pittsburgh tied the game, you know, there were moments, Michael, and there were moments early in the third period where Pittsburgh could very easily tie the game. Shesterkin made an amazing save on Malkin that would have tied the game when the ice was completely tilted in the first 5 minutes of the third. But one of the reasons the Rangers couldn't shake loose is Domingue was really good, and then they just eventually wore him down, and he ended up giving up the five goals. And I wouldn't say he played poorly, but if you play your game, you're going to get your share of goals. And if Shesterkin plays the way he's played, now two straight games, he's been terrific, you're not losing this series unless you lose it. So I think yesterday really showed that they're the better team, especially with the goaltending situation. And unless something changes dramatically, I don't think Domingue is going to be able to beat them.
And Panarin, you know, he showed up, and that's important too.
I know it was a fluky goal because it went off of Matheson, but boy, the way he was able to just draw everybody away and carry it back behind the net, and he just – that was a special play. Even though the goal looked fluky, it was still how special he was to create the opportunity to get the goal. And in Vetrano beating Matheson for what proved to really be the backbreaker to make it 5-2, they played terrific. They really did. They finally, the power play's been good. Now they're 2-for-3 in the series. So, and I didn't get a chance to mention this stat yesterday. To Peter's point about, like, it might not be a big deal losing these heartbreaking games, teams that lost a overtime playoff game in three or more overtimes had a record of 21-18 in the next game. Now, that's not a great record, but it's above 500. So it kind of just shows you that, no, you could dust yourself off and go back and play. And I think the youth of the Rangers helped them overcome that long overtime, not just a physical standpoint, but also, like, when you're younger, you don't let things bother you as much as veterans do. So they didn't look devastated at all. They played great to start the game. Both teams did. So as heartbreaking it was to lose game one, it didn't affect them at all in game two. And now they go to Pittsburgh, where they've been tremendous all year on the road. And let's see if they can take command of this series.
Now, the key question, how many times during the broadcast yesterday did you go full Louis Domingue?
Just when I introduced him.
And then after that, it was Domingue.
Yeah. Every say. I mean, I don't remember saying Louis Domingue, but I made an effort not to say Louis Domingue. I broke the trend.
And you won, and Kenny lost. So that's a trend that continues.
Wow. It's a great point, though.
But Kenny also called the game on TV. What?
Kenny also called the game on
TV. On
TV.
It's
the radio magic. He was in the building. It's the radio magic we're talking about.
Well, 29-10-5.
Do we, Anthony, are we on goal number four now?
Panarin, now to the near corner, climbing the near wall. Panarin still with it. Passes back out to the point. Miller dangles the blue line straight away. Back out to the far wing. Cross-ice pass goes to Panarin, but he fanned on his shot. Spins, gets it on his backhand behind the net. Centers one, bounces off of Matheson, and the Rangers score and take a 4-2 lead.
You're so good, Don. Really, I'm not even blowing smoke here. You're so good at this.
I'm average at best, but I do appreciate the love.
Gorgeous call.
Why can't he just take the compliment, Peter? He's an animal.
No, I took the compliment.
Got a pussy infected finger, which you just showed us with a tape job on it.
I got to go to the pharmacy later. Road pharmacy, that's always a bad thing.
It's not ideal.
You don't like road pharmacy.
I saw a Rite Aid as we were driving up with the team, and I'm like, oh, there's a Rite Aid, and then we went like 3 more miles. So
I bet you most men go to Rite Aid, a CVS, or Duane Reade more on the Saturday before Mother's Day than any other day.
That's
true.
Like gas station flowers.
Well, you don't have to go gas station, but I mean, you do need cards and stuff like that.
Yeah, but when you're going, and no offense, they've got a great assortment of cards, but you're doing it at the last minute because it's the only thing that's open. That's the point.
That's my point.
Is that if you're really going to go out, then you go to a Hallmark store or somewhere where you got a tremendous assortment.
I've never, ever heard a more ridiculous take by you. They have a great assortment at every single major drugstore.
No,
I'm going to go search out a Hallmark store in a mall.
If you really want good selection.
I bought these cards 2 weeks ago, and it's terrific selection.
Listen, I think that the pharmacy greeting card is the minute steak of steaks.
You are so good. Wrong. It's the Brajol, my friend.
You don't
it's
pass
the Brajol.
Wait.
Hold on. Which kind of pharmacy do you mean, Don?
You mean you go to a CVS and you're getting the minute steak of steak? You're lying now.
Yes.
No.
They got a nice assortment, but if you really want quality, Peter. You go to a Hallmark store or something that's known for selling cards.
See, here's why I'm going to say you're wrong. If you go to a Hallmark store, right?
Right.
You're only going to get the selection of Hallmark cards. You go to a CVS or a Duane Reade or a Rite Aid, they have every kind of card maker.
I find the selection to be average at best. Oh. At the Stop and Shops and the pharmacies. I worked at a pharmacy. I know how it works. All right, you're not getting 25 different 50th birthday cards. You're getting two, and you think,
poof!
All right, they got one. See, that's the thing. You're happy when you go into the pharmacy that they have the card you're looking for, and then you just take it for like that it's a win. But if you really put the effort in, you'd see that you'd find better cards, funnier cards, more poignant cards.
You've been working with this guy forever. Is this the most ridiculous take he's ever had? Have you ever gone into a CVS and not gotten the card that you need?
Listen,
you're standing there for like hours reading every card.
There are so many cards there. There are days when you walk in and some of the good ones are gone, and so you don't have necessarily as much selection as you like. But I think you can do quite well at a CVS for a greeting card.
But Michael gave the answer in his defense. You can find the card that you need. Sure, you'll find the card that you need, but is it the card that you want? Is it the card?
Wow.
That will send the right message.
So then why don't you sit down and write a sappy poem on your own? Why don't you do that?
Because I'm not a poet.
This is big news. This is almost ENN type news. Monday, May 9th, Field Yates reporting the new Monday Night Football broadcast team of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will appear on Good Morning America to reveal this season's biggest Monday Night Football matchup.
Makes sense, right?
Why not?
Holy crap.
Paying them enough.
Such a great hire.
You think so?
That's the team.
It's beautiful. And he's also doing a Madden cast. Did you see this?
I did see that.
Yeah, he's doing it.
What
on,
do you mean?
On, for the PGA Championship, Joe Buck and friends will be doing a K-Rod cast, we like to call it.
Peter, I thought that when Michael suggested that myself and Rick DiPietro do like a Manning-type cast for hockey, I thought, I don't know if that works, if it's the right sport for it. If you're doing it for golf, then you know what? I am going to aggressively go after that. you do it for golf, you can really do it for anything.
I had one of the biggest agents of all time. I'm not even going to say who it is. I'm not even going to let you guess. Call me up and say, these alternate casts are the future of broadcasting. He said, everybody has information at their fingers. They know exactly what's going on. They know the stats. This is the way to engage an audience.
I don't disagree, but there's something about the call, right? Like, every great moment's got a great call.
Every
you want
moment.
Like a great moment to happen, like while you're in the, you know, the middle of an interview with Martha Stewart. You know, I the call still got to be there, man.
Don't you get that on the regular cast?
I don't like it for golf because I want to half fall asleep during golf. I don't need people distracting me with yammering on about. You know what else? What else worries me about that part too. Don, you'll definitely feel me on this, is amateurs who do not play golf love to just wax poetic about their golf game that no one cares about.
So you're talking about Trey Wingo.
You don't want people like Trey Wingo, God bless him, or frankly, tons of other people, athletes
Ooh,
of all sports,
close on 10.
Loving to talk about their own golf game.
Well, that's got to be what they're thinking, right? Because all these famous athletes and famous rock stars play golf. That's what they're going to have on these casts, right?
And it's going to end up being them talking about, well, you know, last week on the back nine. I don't care, dude. You stink.
I have some hockey ratings very quickly. Lowest rated local teams.
Okay.
I've got five of them. You want to try to guess? Give me two.
I would say your Arizona Coyotes.
They are fourth. Fourth worst.
I would say
three of them major markets.
Well, then I would say the Anaheim Ducks.
No, they're fifth. I'm sorry. Yeah.
How about the New York Islanders?
They're fourth. You know, the Ducks are worst. The Coyotes are second worst. The Devils are third worst.
Oof.
The Islanders. And then the Kings.
Mm. Oh, that's not surprising. The Kings is not surprising.
The L.A. Kings in L.A., to have that low of a rating?
Doesn't surprise.
Well, here's the problem is that it's such a vast market. They might have a lot of fans, but a small percentage. The percentages are never as high in New York, even like for the Yankees, because there's so many people. Right?
True.
So if you took those passionate Kings fans and you put them in, like, in Oklahoma, the rating would be monstrous. Right?
Overall rating, what team had the highest?
You know what? It's usually between the Penguins and the Sabres. Sabres were brutal this year, though. But it's usually like Buffalo or Pittsburgh. Philly's always up there, but they were awful. I'll still say Buffalo because they certainly didn't go.
Pittsburgh, 5.43.
Yeah.
Followed by St. Louis, Buffalo, Minnesota, and Vegas.
Don, that
they
crowd.
They got it right with Vegas, man.
That crowd, Don, tomorrow in Pittsburgh is going to be
lit.
So lit. On account of this could be the end of the line for this group, and people do not want that to be the case, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, because it's so underrated. This is such a big team in Pittsburgh. You know, they're right there with the Steelers. They're not the Steelers, but they're close. They got a passionate following. And I got to tell you, that building at the Garden last night was electric as well. Because think about it. Like last year, they haven't been in the playoffs since 2017, right? And then, you know, last year you had almost no fans and then 10%. And then this year, you know, the crowds were really good, but they were regular season games. Then you get to the playoffs for the first time in 5 years. And then it's great about New York too, Michael, in all sports. Like, talk about the Bronx cheer, right? They screwed up an icing early in game one. So every time there's an icing against the Penguins, they give us, the Ranger fans give a standing ovation, like mocking the officials for getting it right. And I knew the building would explode as soon as they got a power play because they didn't have one since, like, the first period of game one. I just love how smart New York fans are. And that makes it so much so electric. And I think you're right, Peter. I can't wait tomorrow and Monday. The building's going to be nuts. It's not the igloo. The new building's a little bit more cavernous, but it's going to be loud. Blast will be great.
We're going to take a brief timeout. Take your phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. By the way, good news for Andrew. Joel Embiid is going to play tonight. They're down 0-2, so he got clearance with the cracked orbital bone. He is going to play. So we'll talk about some of the basketball as well with the Big ENN coming up. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
No baseball tonight for local fans. Yankees and the Rangers rained out early today. It will be made up as a straight doubleheader starting at 1:35 on Sunday. The first game is on Prime Video. The second game is on Yes. The Mets game was rained out, and it will be made up as part of a split doubleheader in Philadelphia in August when the Mets return back to the city of brotherly love. Tomorrow's games, both of them in jeopardy, but as of this point, they're still expected to be played. If they're not, then stay tuned to find out exactly what goes on. I just want to give you a little bit of warning. I don't want to be the purveyor of gloom and doom.
No. Please don't.
Next year, all right, the Major League schedule is going to be not as top heavy within your division, and every team in baseball is going to play each of the other 29 teams. So there's not going to be interleague play where you just play the East Division or the Central or the West. You're going to play every single team, which means there's going to be a lot of one-time series.
Right.
Which means that you're going to get stuff like this all the time. So the Yankees and the Rangers have an off day on Monday. They don't come into town after this. So you have the doubleheader on Sunday and cross your fingers that you don't get rained out on Saturday, too. So at least the Mets go into Philadelphia again. But you're going to have these one series where these teams play throughout the year, and rainouts are going to wreak havoc throughout the Major League schedule. There's not enough retractable roofs, and there's not enough days in which to make these games up. You're going to have so many doubleheaders, and they're no longer seven innings. They're nine innings, and players don't like to play split doubleheaders because they're at the ballpark so long. It's going to be a mess. It looks all fun. Well, the Yankees are going to play the Dodgers, the Padres, the Giants, the Cubs every single year. But that means you're going to play them one series a year, and there's going to be no time to make up rainouts.
And they're going to have to do or make more of an effort to see that these teams like the Mets and the Yankees and the Phillies and the Red Sox don't play as many games like early in the season against each other. You know, and you can't have West Coast teams coming east to play these teams either in April. Because then how are you supposed to make them up? They're going to have to – listen, I don't want to see the Mets or the Yankees have to play a lot of games on the road early. That's unfair. But at the same time, it's also unfair to have all these games rained out and have to play doubleheaders in August because of it. And you make a great point, Michael. If you're not coming back, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
How can they have – I like the schedule because I do like the idea of seeing everybody rather than – it does get a little redundant. Yeah, Yankees-Red Sox is great, but do we need to see Yankees-Orioles 19 times during the year? So I like this for Mike Trout to be able to play every team in Major League Baseball, that Harper can play and Judge can play every team in Major League Baseball. But how do they do that when you don't have domes? Is there any way that they can figure something out temporarily with these buildings? I mean, we can put a man on the moon. We've had tremendous technology. Is there any way that you can come up with some sort of technology to give these buildings a retractable roof?
Like a big tent on top.
I mean, you could put retractable roofs on a lot of stadiums. It's going to cost a lot of money. It's going to cost over $250 to $500 million.
Okay, per. That's fine.
Per.
Probably per. But you put a fund together, Peter. It's still costing you money at the end of the day because these doubleheaders, you know, now you're going to have a straight doubleheader. So the Yankees are going to lose a gate. Or you play the game. Like, they might play the game tomorrow in front of 6,000 people because the weather's awful, but they got to play it because they don't want to have to make the game up later in the year. So aren't you losing money there, too?
I don't know.
By having a game that normally would have 40,000 people now have 6 or 7 because the weather's inclement and it's awful?
Well, the original plan for both Citi Field and Yankee Stadium did have retractable roofs, but then, you know, obviously all the problems that befell the city after 2001, September 11th, that wasn't in the cards anymore because each of the individual teams paid for the stadiums themselves. So it took away the roofs. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Adam in the car. Adam.
Hey, guys. A long, long, long time listener, first time caller. I just want to really just take a second and thank you guys for all that you do.
I own an oil tank sweep company here in New Jersey. I don't know if you guys are familiar with that business, but it's a lot of driving. It's a lot of moving around. So I just wanted to call and just kind of say thanks and appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
Don, I know you're having a tough day today, so big shout out to you as well, Don. And you know, working outside in the rain, it's a miserable day, so I get what it's like to have a tough day.
It's all playtime for us. It's a rough day, relatively speaking, but you guys work a lot harder than we do.
Agreed. I appreciate that. So I just have a quick comment. You know, Michael, obviously big fan. You know, and I know you're Yankees inside and out. I was born a Yankee fan, Donnie baseball, way through the core four, and so on and so forth. And I don't mean to get off subject too much, but I'm just curious to hear your opinion on something. You know, as a baseball fan, it's hard to ignore what the Mets are doing. And I think the biggest thing that stands out to me is the chemistry. And I'm sure Don can speak to that as well. The chemistry, the synergy that those guys seem to play with right now is really just eye-catching. And I see what the Yankees are doing, and they got a nice streak. They're playing well and all that kind of good stuff. But, you know, from a chemistry standpoint, it doesn't, you know, it certainly doesn't feel the way that it does watching the Mets. So my question for you, Michael,
I wouldn't agree with that. I mean, the Yankees have the best record in baseball. There's chemistry there, but please go on.
Okay. If you had to put your Brian Cashman hat on, is there anybody out there going into the trade deadline that you feel would help with some of that synergy or chemistry?
Well, I mean, I'm operating off a false premise. I think they have great chemistry. They really get along. You see the three Yankees that were at the Ranger game yesterday? They all get along great. There's plenty of synergy and chemistry. How could you say they don't? How many games do you want them to win? They have the best record in baseball. There's plenty of synergy and chemistry. That is such a non-quantifiable sort of thing. How could you tell what the chemistry is in the clubhouse of the Mets or the Yankees?
Well, because you can't get the same feel, because the Yankees are supposed to be one of the best teams in baseball. So when they go about their business, it's not appreciated by a lot, because we've seen this happen before. And then the Mets, because they don't have seasons like this all the time, it seems like it's more energetic. And the Yankees also reek to me, Michael, and it's not fair. Michael, Peter and I have talked about this a lot, too. They go about their business a little differently, maybe a little bit more stuffy, because of, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because they don't have the names in the back, and there's just this perception that they are very businesslike going about playing baseball,
buttoned up,
where other teams kind of have fun. They're very buttoned up. It's not a bad thing, but what it does, I think, sometimes is set the precedent. Are they having as much fun as the Mets do, as the Red Sox do when they win?
I think they are.
That's probably the difference.
I mean, remember when Brian Cashman signed CC Sabathia, he said, "I want you to fix the locker room." I think it's a loose locker room. They all get along. They love Judge. Judge is like a de facto leader. I think. I mean, there's pressure to win. Well, you don't think that Buck Showalter has pressure to win, and Steve Cohen wants them to win?
But you're missing it. Like, they have chemistry, clearly, and they are having fun. But do they have fun in relation to other teams because of just how the whole perception of the Yankee business of baseball? It feels very Wall Street, while a lot of other teams kind of have more of a carnival atmosphere, which sometimes leads to just not being very professional and not winning.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying, Peter? It just kind of comes across sometimes as a little stuffy. Not that the players are stuffy, but just the whole way that they go about things kind of seems to be less fun to somebody on the
outside. Because it's not really based in reality. I mean, if you think about Aaron Judge, for example, who's the leader of this team, and has been fun the entire time. I mean, even to the point that he may have gotten himself in trouble with the whole New York thing several years ago. You know, he's a guy who does have fun and does play into it. But I agree with Don that the perception of them being so buttoned up allows you to look past that and think, oh, look at the wacky upstart Mets. They're just going for it. When really, the Yankees look like they're having fun to me too. But I do hear what you're saying, Don, that because they're so buttoned up, you don't notice it in the same way.
Well, I think the perception is false. I've been around this team when they were winning four championships and George was at his Georgeness, and they were having a blast in 96 and 98, 99, 2000. They had a lot of fun every single day. So I think winning is fun. When you're not winning, then it looks miserable. And they are miserable when they lose. But when you're winning, how could you not have fun? Then you should find another line of business. ENN's coming up in just a second. That's fun. At least we hope it is. There's no bigger ENN than the one that leads you into a weekend with the Kentucky Derby and the two New York teams rained out on Friday. People need a pick-me-up, baby. And Peter's going to do that. Peter's going to do that first.
We're going to preview the Derby. All the horses, all about the horses. My horse is going to be there. Bet River's my horse.
We'll be back in just a moment on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
It's a rough day, relatively speaking, but you guys work a lot harder than we do.
Agreed.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.